You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. You know, liberty to love on Jesus and to worship Him. Sometime after August 25th, 2006, after coming back to Pentecost and getting baptized in the Spirit of the living God, Don and I, we started seeking more of the things of the Spirit and trying to yield to the Spirit of God. And I'd always been kind of harsh on certain people doing certain things because that's what the flesh is. It's judgmental, you know. But we was in a church service. And in Adkins Assembly of God Church down there, and the Spirit of God was moving, and all of a sudden, this is the first time I'd ever saw this because my eyes were finally open. I saw the Spirit of God come upon the pastor, and we was all worshiping the Lord, and he, when the Spirit of God hit him, he jumped, and he took off running, and if you've ever been in that Assembly of God Church, you know how the podium and how the stage is. He hung his foot as he went forward, and he was going to wipe out the first row. And I seen him start to fall, and then I seen the Spirit of God just lift him up. And he lifted him up, and he run all the way around that church. That's a pretty good sized little church. He run all the way around that church and come back, and I thought, my goodness. If we'll just trust God, we can worship Him however God moves on us to worship Him, and it's going to be okay. Amen. And not only that, to this day, it blesses me because I can see that. I can see the liberty and I can see the freedom. Amen. That's what I want, don't you? I want freedom in the Spirit. I want freedom to be able to do and be all God would have me to be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. I'm so glad that you're here tonight. I'm so glad that we get to be in the house of the Lord together. And we just get to, you and I, we're just in a rehearsal mode. That's what we're doing. We're rehearsing for the eternity. Amen. I love that liberty that we feel. I love all of those things that we feel, but whether we feel it or not, He's always there. Hallelujah. Amen. If you would open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 2, this is the season of Pentecost. And so I want us to remind ourselves of some things about the power of the Holy Spirit in your life and in my life. You know, if we're not careful, you and I, we want the stuff without the Savior. But we got to have the Savior, and then the stuff just comes automatically. We want the doodads. But we don't want the fullness of the Spirit of God. But the doodads are something that reveals what the Spirit of God wants to do in you and through you, what He wants to use you for. Amen? And so we need to see that when the Scriptures talk about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, that it's not for the feeling, it's not for the tongues, but it's for service. And so you bear with me, and we'll look at some things tonight, and we're going to leave here say that we're willing to serve. Amen? Because we got to be willing to be used to be able to be a servant. And I don't want to serve in self because I've done it before and you'll wear yourself out. But if we serve in the Spirit, hey, there's no limitation. There's no, the Spirit never gets tired. Amen. All right. So let's remind ourselves of some things. This Acts chapter 2, you know it very well, but this is the day of Pentecost, and the promise of the Father, Luke 24:49, comes. You know, we ministered on this last Pentecost Sunday, this Sunday before. And so the promise of the Father fell, and those 120 were baptized, and there was a unity in speech. And as that unity in speech, it started the foundation of the building of the church. And Peter stood up with the 11, and they preached this message. And after the message was preached, let's pick it up in verse 37. For sake of time, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. Don't you love it when you hear the word of God and it challenges your heart? And they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Not just the doodads, but the Spirit of God Himself and all of His giftings. Amen? Who's it for? Who's this gifting of the Holy Spirit for? Verse 39. For the promise of this gifting of the Holy Spirit is unto you and to your children and to all, how many?
All.
That are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Hallelujah. Brother Larry, would you pray? Yes. Amen and amen. Thank you, Brother Larry. Thank you once again for being here. Thank you for honoring the word. So tonight, you and I, we see that when the salvation message was preached, when the founding of the church started, and we started out with this 120, and that 120 was the seed for the 3,000, and then we had 5,000, and on, that's the way it's supposed to be. God gives a seed of His Word into your life, into my life, and it's going to germinate. It's going to produce. God said that you and I, we could produce 30, 60, 100-fold, amen? And so you and I, we can even get in the place if we want to see the blessing or the provision of the bread and the loaves. Come on, God can take whatever we give Him, and He can bless it, and it will be enough, amen? What does God want? He wants your heart. If you and I will simply give Him our heart, then there's some amazing things that's going to take place. And so tonight, I want us to be in the place and the position that we remind ourselves that God wants to empower you to be able to serve Him. He wants to empower you to be able to, as we talked to Minister this morning, to love people. You love Him first, but to love people and to love yourself. You got to love yourself first, amen? And so it's so critical, but it's not something that you have to do. You and I just have to allow Him to do that to us. And I encourage you, if you've got internet, you can go to the webpage and you can listen to the sermons. If you've got Android, you can go to Google Podcast. If you got iPhone, you can go on iTunes and you can look up Don't Miss Out and you can listen to all of our messages that are there. Sister Victoria and Brother Ryan, they record those, and so they're available to you, so you can always stay hooked up with what's going on. Amen. You can have the mind of what God's trying to do and say to this particular body. And as we were talking this morning, we were talking about a baptism of love. And so that baptism of love comes at salvation, but when we get born again, then there's something else. God wants to take us further, amen? He wants to take us deeper. And so that's what He's talking about here in these verses of Scripture. He tells them how to be saved, but then He tells them about this baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the word baptism simply means that you and I, we don't get a sprinkling. We get an overwhelming. The word means to whelm. It means to completely saturate. You and I, we're baptized into the body of Christ at salvation, and that means that you're completely covered over by Jesus the head and His making of the many-membered body. Amen. Well, it's the same way with the Holy Ghost. When you and I get baptized in the Holy Ghost, things happen. Amen. All of a sudden, we see some things like we never saw before. Now, let's go to Luke chapter 3. And let's see some promises. Let's lay a foundation. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And let's get ourselves in the place and the position to see that I don't have to be left out. You don't have to be left out. God wants to manifest His Holy Spirit in and through every person's life. And so we're going to just build our faith on that, because I told you I wasted 15 years thinking that the Holy Spirit was for everybody but me. And I want to be able to help people, and I want you and I to have right on the very forefront of our heart the ability to help other people, because you're going to come in contact with people and they need to know that you can give them the scripture that will encourage them. Amen. So look here at the promise in Luke chapter 3. We got John the Baptist talking, and let's pick it up in verse 15, Luke 3:15. And as the people were in expectation. Come on, they were looking. John, he had set an expectation for the Messiah. That's what you and I, the church, is supposed to do. We're supposed to be modern day John the Baptist. We're supposed to decrease, let Jesus increase, and set an expectation for the coming of the Lord. But all the people were in expectation, and all men mused in the hearts of John whether he were the Christ or not. Isn't that amazing? You and I, we can look so much, talk so much, taste so much like Jesus that it'll really get them looking. Verse 16. And John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water. Come on, this is the water baptism of repentance. But one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes, you and I would say today, I'm not worthy to untie his shoes, the latchet of one's shoes, who I'm not worthy to unloose, but he shall baptize a few of you. Come on. He shall baptize you. That's everyone. That's everyone that's looking and seeking and willing. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Jesus is the baptizer. Now see, all those times that I was trying so hard to get baptized, if somebody just told me that Jesus was the baptizer, that would have took all the pressure off of me, because I thought I had to get in the right place at the right time. I had to do the right thing and all of those things. And guess what? I can never do those things. But all I have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I take you at your word that you're my baptizer. And I want to be used by you. I want to serve you in a new level of power. I want to serve you in the strength of the Spirit of the living God and not in my own strength. I want your ability to come in and through my life. I want to love like you love. I want to see like you see. I want to be moved with compassion like you were. And when I come into that place, then guess what? Jesus is going to move in my life, because I'm putting all my confidence, all my hope in Him. See, when we lift Him up to His proper place, then He's ready. He's ready, because that's all He's waiting for me to recognize that I'm nothing by myself. I can do nothing. I can receive nothing. But when my focus is on Him, my heart trusts in Him, He's going to open up His heart to me. Amen? That's your God. That's my God. Now look what He promised us. He said He will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And I understand that has to do with judgment in the latter days, but I want us to not get too prophetic, and let's get right at this moment. Why does He want to do that? Verse 17, whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor. This is His threshing floor. He will, the word means to, and from the Greek, means to cleanse it perfectly. See, when Jesus comes in your life and my life, and we become His wheat, the Holy Ghost comes on our life, this outer shell, this chaff that's on the outside of the wheat, the seed of who we really and truly are, Jesus can take care of it. Amen. Come on now. He can take care of it. He has a promise for you and I. So what I've been having to do is lay some things down, and I say, oh, let the fire of God burn this part out of my life. Let the fire of God reveal that lie, reveal that stronghold. The fire of God, it doesn't hurt the children of God. It doesn't hurt the things of the Spirit. But guess what? All of those things of the enemy and those things that will try to destroy you and I, it will be gone in Jesus' name. Amen? So that thing in my mind that wants to hold me back, that wants to hinder me, that wants to lie to me, I lay it on the very threshing floor of the Lord, and I say, cleanse it thoroughly, Lord. I give you permission. I want to think just like you think. And the fire of the Holy Ghost falls, and things start changing. All of a sudden, the cloud in my eyes becomes clear. The battle in my mind that I wonder if I'm going to win, I see that Jesus has done won it. Amen? And I receive it and I take it and I go in His strength, whose fan is in His hand, and He will thoroughly purge His floor, and He will gather the wheat into His garner. Come on, that's His place of protection. His garner's His storehouse. Come on, say, I'm the sheep in the Lord's pasture. That's what He's talking about. He's talking about putting you and I in the Lord's fold. Come on, the place of protection, the place of promise, the place of provision, the place of power. It's for you and I tonight, amen? But look what He says. But the chaff He will burn with fire unquenchable. That's a promise. That doesn't scare you and I. Now, it should shake up the world, but it doesn't scare you and I. It just warms our heart. It warms us because you and I were warm. Tonight, as you were worshiping the Lord, your spirit was being warmed by the Holy Spirit, and your flesh was feeling that. That's all it was. That was the doodads. That was just the presence of God, and the flesh was being put down, and you were stepping more into the Spirit, and you were having more liberty, more freedom. Come on, that's not for 15 minutes on Sunday morning and Sunday night. That's for every day of your life, every day of my life. It's available to us. Amen? Oh, glory. Now, we're in Luke 3. Turn over with me to Luke 11. We're just building our faith. We've got to lay a foundation in our life to be able to receive. Luke 11, Jesus is teaching them how to pray. But then we don't have time for that. I want you to drop down to verse 9. Luke 11 and 9. And I want you to look at how Jesus lays something forth to us. Red letter, Jesus says, "And I say unto you," Lord, you're talking to me. Come on. Say, Lord, you talking to me? I'm listening. Amen. I'm listening. I'm listening to what you would say. Jesus says, "And I say unto you, ask." Now take your Bible and take your pen or your pencil and underline A. "And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek." Okay, underline the S. "Seek, and you shall find. Knock." Okay, underline the K. "Knock, and it shall be opened unto you." If you underline the A, if you underline the S, and you underline the K, what do you spell? Come on! How mighty is the Word of God, amen? So, he's given us a deal here. He's given us a formula to get what God's trying to get to us. See, the devil has tried to convince the church that we've got to get down and beg and grovel and try to move God's hand. No, God's hand moved 2,000 years ago when it was nailed on the cross. God is willing. I'm the problem. My outside, my external, my old man, my old nature, that's the problem. So I put that down in the name of Jesus. I let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn that away, that chaff, and I ask. I seek, I knock on the true things of God because He's got something for me. What's He got for you and I tonight? Verse 10. "For some people that ask," oh my, you mean I'm not left out? You're not left out. It doesn't matter where you're at in society. It doesn't matter where you're at in the body of Christ. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor, if you're not as smart as some, if you're not as liked as others. God doesn't do that. He doesn't play. Sister Victoria, put Acts 10:34. Acts 10:34, I believe. Is that about being a respecter of persons? Acts 10:34. "Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons.'" Come on, you're God. My God. That means what God will do for you, He'll do for me. What God will do for me, He'll do for you. So, I've got to get in this mindset of letting the Word of God be the first and final say in my life, not how I feel, not what I've seen, not what I've been taught by man, but what I've been taught by the Spirit. Amen? Now, notice what it said, as Sister Victoria goes back there, and I thank you so much. "For everyone that asketh, receiveth. He that seeketh, findeth, and to him," or to her, no gender intended, "that knocketh, it shall be opened." What a promise. everyone, all inclusive. God is an inclusive God. See, right now, what we're seeing in the world of this inclusiveness is the devil twisting God's truth. Right now, you know, everyone said, oh, we can't have no division. Well, now Jesus came that you and I could be unified, but he said we was going to have to be divided first. He said, I didn't come to bring peace to everybody. I only come to bring peace to those who would be divided from the world and they would be united with me. And then they're going to have peace. Amen. They're going to have some truth. But this all inclusiveness, it can't be. You can't mix the world and the church. You can't mix the spirit of the devil and the spirit of the Holy Ghost. No, it will not work. Amen. It is not meant to be that way. We can't eat at the table of devils and then take communion with the Lord. We've got to be strong in Jesus. Amen. But let him be the strength. And notice what happens. Verse 11, if a son or a daughter, like I said, no gender intended, every time that, I don't know why King James does this, but when you see sons, like, you know, in James, in John chapter 1, where it says, to many as believe on him, that God gave you and I power to become sons of God. Okay, that Greek word is a child is produced, like here. God, he doesn't play favorites, man and woman and all of those things. That's a translation, okay? God's word's perfect. Man's translation is not. So ladies, you're not left out. If a child shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Verse 12. Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? Notice this. Verse 13. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? Come on, write it down in the table of your heart. How much? The word means beyond a degree that you and I can understand. How much more? In other words, God is going to go to where you think he'll go and then he's going to take it even farther. Amen. How much more shall your heavenly Father give? It's a gift. Shall the heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now, when we read this, sometimes in the, not to get too technical, but sometimes in scripture, you've got the article. And when you've got the article, the little mark before the Holy Spirit is Hagios Pneuma. But if you got the article before it, it means the Holy Ghost. But when the article's not there, it doesn't simply just mean the Holy Ghost. It means the Holy Spirit and his gifts. He has gifts for you. He has gifts for me. Gifts for us to be able to live this life in joy and peace, but gifts to be able to serve God with joy. See, can I just tell you some things in my own life, tell them myself? I love Jesus. You know that. You love Jesus. But I don't serve Jesus in joy. I serve Jesus and I look at the things that he's wanting me to do and I let them overwhelm me. I feel dread. I feel pressure and all those things. And so there's some things that come up this month. We're having to fill in for another pastor or two and do some situations. And I was just feeling overwhelmed about it. But, God in the services that we've had there, he's just supernaturally moved. And I didn't have to look for the message. All I did is this is to pray in tongues and the message just fell in my spirit. And then he took the message to the people. And so what I'm saying is it was such a relief. It was such a joy to be able to serve God, not in self, not what I've got to do, not how am I going to make time? How am I going to do all this? But just serve God and just let God be God. Amen. And so that's what he wants you and I to do. He wants you to be able to own your job when you're paying for this almost $5 worth of gas, $4.50, whatever it is, a gallon, whatever you're doing, you can do it in joy. Because God's your source, God's your power, God's your provision. All of these things that you and I have to do, we can serve him by the power of the Spirit. Amen. Now notice what he said. He said, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Now he said, if you ask, you seek and you knock, you shall. Come on. It's yours to everyone. So tonight, you, if you're wanting to do something for the Lord, you're not wanting to do it because it's just simply of you. You're wanting to do it because God put that desire in you. Come on, He put it in you. The Bible says, delight yourself, Psalms 37:4, delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Well, the word delight means to be soft and pliable. So, in other words, you allow God to put some things in your heart, and when He puts it in your heart, you've got that desire. You think God's going to give you a desire and then laugh at you? No, that's the devil. God puts a desire in your life where you will ask, you'll seek, you'll knock. You'll be in that right place at the right time, His timing, not your timing. Where you don't have to worry about it. You're just walking with the Lord. You're fellowshipping with Jesus. He's leading you and He's guiding you. So this very night, you and I need to be in the place and the position where we say, Lord, I thank You that I can have a fresh baptism of love. Yes, that we talked about this morning. But I can have a fresh baptism of the Holy Ghost, His giftings in my life. I can serve You in any way that You, Lord, would have me to, because it's available. See, God, He isn't like man. I won't say who, but I had somebody one time, they started giving me a bunch of stuff because they thought they were going to die. They had a bad doctor's report, and of course, where everybody was praying, well, they started getting better. When they got better, they wanted their tools back. Now, that ain't God. God don't do that. When God gives you something, it's forever. Amen? And so, you're not qualified by self. You're qualified by the Savior. Amen. Jesus has qualified you. So let's look at some things here. Go with me and let's go over to Acts again. And let's go to Acts chapter 8. And we hit on this a little bit on Pentecost Sunday, but we had to hit it pretty fast. I want you to just to have your faith built and loosed. In Acts 8:4, Acts 8 and 5, it says, then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and he preached Christ unto them. So all of a sudden, remember what Jesus had told his disciples. He told them in Acts 1:8, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me. And he said it would start here and it would go to the utter ends of the earth. All right. So the only problem is that we've had 5 years for them to start doing that. And in this 5 year period from the day of Pentecost, they hadn't been doing it. They were enjoying their church services. Oh, I like to feel the Holy Ghost. I like to feel the sweetness of my brothers and my sisters. Let's just stay right here. No. So all of a sudden, God elevates Philip and he raises him up from a deacon and he makes him an evangelist. And as he makes him an evangelist, he sends him to preach Christ. You know the story. It says in verse 6, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Now, he couldn't do the miracles unless he had what? He had the Holy Ghost. He had the giftings of the Holy Ghost in his life. He was being led by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God was providing those giftings that you and I are promised. Verse 7, for unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Come on, what did Jesus say in Mark 16? These five signs shall follow them that believe. You shall what? You shall cast out devils. And then it ends with, you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall. Okay, so we're seeing here that Philip is taking advantage of what Jesus said. Lord, remind me of what You said. Come on, I want to take advantage of what the Lord said. I want to do what He said I could do, don't you? I want to accomplish some things. I want to be that representation. I want to make people say, man, Jesus is here. Come on, you carry Him. Remember, that's why they couldn't tell about John the Baptist. Are you the Christ or not? See, you carry and you represent the Lord. Now notice, we could read all of this, but we won't take time. It just says in verse 8 that there was great joy in that city. Come on, there's no joy without salvation. So we see that salvation has come to Samaria. Samaria, fully translated, means watch station. See, all of a sudden, they're able to see what's truly important. But they still lacked one thing. Drop down to verse 14. Acts 8:14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, verse 15, who when they were come down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Verse 16. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that salvation is one thing, spirit infilling is something else. So thank God when we get born again. We can go to heaven when we get born again. Amen. But if we're going to be the witness that God would have us to be, if we're going to be able to walk in the power and the love and the grace and the mercy that God would have us to, we need to move from salvation to what? To this refilling continually of the Holy Ghost. Not a one-time thing. We need to continually being filled by the Spirit of God. And when we do that, all of a sudden, we're in a place of just resting in the Lord. We're in a place of just letting that power come in us and through us. But I want you to notice, for he was yet fallen upon none of them. You need to study that word out. That word fallen upon them means, from the Greek, that they hadn't let the Holy Ghost embrace them with an embrace that actually seized them and pulled them to himself. That's encouraging, right? That the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God, wants to wrap his arms around you and pull you into himself. And when he pulls you into yourself, you disappear. Come on, you disappear and the Holy Ghost comes all around your life. You're baptized into that Holy Ghost and fire. That power is in your life and all doubt, all fear, all the things of the flesh that would limit you and I, it's gone. And the whole world can't see self, can't see this flesh anymore. All they see is the Holy Ghost on you. The Holy Ghost coming out of you. Amen. So salvation inside, Holy Spirit dwelling on the outside, coming together to produce the new man, the new woman, the new child of God that can do the works of God. Amen? Isn't that amazing? So he wants to embrace you. I thought about as a child, you remember we all had family members when you were a little child and you didn't want to go visit them because when you did, you knew they were going to grab you. They were going to hug you so tight they'd be kissing on you. I remember my great-grandmother. Every time I went to see her, she'd grab me and she'd hug me and she'd try to get me. She carried, I don't know for how many years. I know, I'm sure now I understand it wasn't the same one, but in my mind it was the same one. Every time I seen her, she tried to give me the same Hershey candy bar with almonds. And I thought, is that candy bar going to ever rot? Cause you know, in my mind it was the same one that she just, but I couldn't, at that time I couldn't stand almonds and I say, no, thank you. You know, but every time I'm talking about for years, but see, that's what the Spirit of God wants to do. He has things for us. The flesh may not like it, but your spirit, my spirit does. Amen. We need to take what he has for us. All right. So what happened? Verse 17. Then they laid their hands on them and they what? They received the Holy Ghost. That's it. This word receive means to take near. So the Spirit of God is trying to pull you and I into him. And when we allow him to do that, he does all the work. See, for 15 years, I tried to figure out how I could get filled. For 15 years, I tried to figure out how I could speak in tongues. For 15 years, I tried to figure out how I could prophesy. For 15 years, I tried to figure out how I could serve God. But all of a sudden, when I finally come to that place where I said, Lord, I just humbled myself. I had an altar there at home, and it's back here now. And I simply anointed my tongue, and I laid my tongue on that altar. I literally touched my tongue to the altar, and I said, "Lord, I can't control my tongue." The Bible says in the book of James, chapter 3, that no man can tame their tongue. But Lord, I lay my tongue on this altar. I give you permission. And when I gave him permission, then that's when I was finally able to what? To give an utterance, to give a voice of the tongues of angels. I was able to say what I was hearing in my spirit. And so tonight you and I, we've got to see that it said that when they were come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. And then they laid hands on them and they received. They received. And nobody was left out. God's not a respecter of persons. We covered it in Acts 10:34. You can also look in Romans 2 and 11 for a second witness. Paul said the very same thing that Peter said. Come on, there's no difference. You got some people who follow Peter, some who follow Paul. Paul said, you better follow Christ. You can follow me as I follow Christ, but you better follow Christ. And so we need Jesus. Amen. Jesus is that word. All right. So turn over to the 10th chapter. Let's see something here. Acts chapter 10, verse 44. Peter, he gets called by the Spirit of God down to Cornelius's house, and he gives them a message. And look what it says. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. Now, what do we say this word fell means? The Holy Ghost embraced them. He pulled them, to himself, and they become enveloped inside of him. That's how you get baptized. So those who heard the word. So you and I tonight, all we've got to do is hear what the word says. If we'll hear what God is saying by His Spirit revealing Jesus, the Word, then guess what? It's going to work in your life and my life. But it's not just for tonight. It's for tomorrow. It's for tomorrow night. It's for every minute of your life. You can't live a holy life. You can't walk in victory. You can't walk in peace. You can't walk in expectation without the Holy Ghost lifting up Jesus. Amen? We've got to have the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit, He only brings forth the Word, Jesus, always. So we've got to have that. So I've got to see here that if I'll simply hear what the Spirit is saying to me moment by moment, I'm going to continually be in this flow. Verse 44, while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them, embraced them, seized them, which heard the word. What did he hear? Well, what did they hear? They heard the salvation message. Go back up to verse 38, Sister Victoria, and let's see what he was preaching. He told them, he said, how God anointed Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, with the Holy Ghost and power. Come on, power to serve. He went about doing good and healing how many? All that were oppressed. Come on, how did he do it? For God was with him. See, the Spirit of God reminds you and I that where the Spirit is, there's Jesus. Where Jesus is, there's God. Come on, you can't separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're always in perfect unity. Where one is, the other is. So you're a temple of the Spirit of God. So the Godhead abides, lives in you. Isn't that amazing? All right. So that was the message. And they heard that message. And so tonight, if I will hear the very same thing, that's what's going to happen in my life. But that's what's going to come out of my life. Amen? Okay, you're in Acts 10. Go over to Acts 11. Here Peter is having to explain. Don't you? Isn't it strange that you let God use you and you got to explain to some people why you do certain things? And so he's having to explain this, but it brings out some importance to us. Verse Acts 11 and 14. It says, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved? He's telling, reiterating what happened. Verse 15. And he said, Peter said, as I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. Now, what does the word fell mean? To embrace, to pull to oneself. So that's what he done. He embraced them, pulled them into himself. As I begin to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us in the beginning. Verse 16, then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized you with water, but he that shall be baptized, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them like the gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? And when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. God wants to pour out his Spirit on how much flesh, Joel said? All flesh. On men and women. On boys and, come on, everybody. Everybody, all flesh is all flesh. And so God wants to, this is, we talked about Him pouring in a baptism of love this morning. He wants to give us the Spirit of God, which will in be the baptism of love, but it'll also be all the other attributes of the Holy Ghost. So I need to be in the place and the position where I see that it is needful. God wants to bless me with His Spirit. He wants to bless you with His Spirit. But it's not just for you. It's not just for me. It's for the whole church. Let's document that in closing. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. See, God, He has a plan, and His plan is perfect. And I need you to be full of the Spirit. You need me to be full of the Spirit, where God can do what He would do. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look what he says in verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So he said, I don't want you not to know some things. He said, the Spirit of God wants you to know, because the word ignorant simply means not to know. So he says, I want you to know some things. What does he want us to know? Drop down to verse 4. Now, they are some diversities of gifts, come on, gifts that differ, but the same Spirit, the same Holy Ghost. And your personality is how you're going to react when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Come on, some people laugh. Some people cry. Some people just fall prostrate on the floor. Some people run, and some people jump. And some people do different things at different times. There's not a one way. There's not a right way and a wrong way. There is a Holy Spirit way. Amen? Now, there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. What are they for? And there are differences of administrations, different offices, different ministries, but the same Lord. And they are diversities of operations. In other words, you may have the same ministry I have, but you do it a different way. I may have the same ministry. So I don't need to say, now, wait a minute. I don't do it like Brother So-and-so. So that used to hinder me so much. I had certain preachers that I loved, and I wanted to preach like them. I wasn't called to preach like them. Amen? God didn't need another one of them. He needed one of me. God doesn't need you to be somebody else. He needs you. He called you. Amen? Oh, glory. But there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Aren't you glad? What does He do? Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to some people, every, what? Every man, every woman, every boy, girl. Come on. To every person, to profit with all. Now let's think about that just for a second. If I don't yield to the Spirit of God, if I don't hear what the Spirit of God is saying, and I don't let the Spirit of God use me, somebody's not going to profit. The word profit means simply to move forward in the things of God, to mature, to grow up, to be able to receive what otherwise they wouldn't be able to receive. So you see how important it is for you and for me to say yes to God. I need you. There's brothers and sisters that need you. They need what God is wanting to work in you and through you. Amen? And He made a promise. His promise was that it is that whatever has been given to you is going to profit somebody. See, I tried to sit down and hide my gift because I didn't think my gift was as good as somebody else's. I didn't think, well, it wouldn't be missed, so it wouldn't matter. You talk about the way of a transgressor being hard. Talk about being miserable. There's nothing more miserable than trying to hide what God's gave you, trying to keep it down. And so you and I, we've got to see that God has blessed us to be a blessing. Paul told the church at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1 that you and I are blessed with all spiritual blessings from heavenly places, in heavenly places. Amen? And so we're blessed to be a blessing. Okay, drop down if you would. Okay, we don't have time. Let's go to the 14th chapter. Just a couple of verses and I'll let you go. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. He said, follow after charity, follow after love. That word follow there, it means to pursue it with every breath you take. Because that's why the love chapter is in between these two gifting chapters of the Holy Ghost. Because Paul said, if you don't have love, you're just a what? Tinkling That's it. It doesn't mean anything. Follow after charity, and look what he said, and desire spiritual gifts. You and I, we're to desire them. This word desire, it means, it's a strong word. You know what the word, it means to covet. It means to have a deep hunger for that like never before. God, He puts that in you and I, so it's not a sin, it's not wrong. He wants us to do it. He said, but desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. See, I want to prophesy, don't you? But I'm not going to prophesy unless I first have the Holy Ghost. Because if I don't have the Holy Ghost and His giftings, I have nothing to say. But if I have the Holy Spirit and His giftings, then I have the ability, you have the ability to prophesy. Now, where's the first place that I need to be prophesying to? Right here. I need a miracle every day in my life, and the miracle is in my mouth. That God wants me to prophesy to myself. He wants to prophesy to my wife or my husband, to my children, to my grandchildren. In other words, you get in that prayer mode and you let the Holy Spirit, those rivers of living water, start being troubled in your spirit, in your belly, and let them start coming out. You'll start speaking things over your spouse, over your children, over your grandchildren, over the neighbor that you don't even know. And as you start prophesying, it is a prophetic utterance. It is a seed from heaven that starts operating in their life. Amen? It's an amazing thing. So He wants us to do that. Now, look what He says, verse 2. For he or she that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him, howbeit in the spirit he speaketh mysteries. Verse 3, but he that prophesies speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. So, hold that thought. Verse 4, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So, you and I, we need to be, after we receive this gift of the Holy Spirit, after we've been baptized in and of the Holy Spirit, after He's embraced us, after He's fell on us, we need to speak in tongues every day. We need to just, and you say, well, I don't know what I'm saying. It doesn't matter if you know or not. The Bible said that you would what? You would edify yourself. You would build yourself up. So sometimes I'll sit there and I'll just pray in tongues, and just a minute will turn into an hour. And all of those things. And so you think that your mind, the devil's talking to you, said, boy, you wasted a lot of time right here. And see, I used to be one of those people who was very legalistic. You know, I'd let the devil convince me that I had to study a certain amount of time. Well, that gets into the letter of the law. The letter of the law, it'll kill you. But I don't have to study a certain amount of time. I have to study what the Holy Ghost leads me to study. And when He leads me to study something, then it may be a word, it may be a verse, it may be a chapter. Who knows? Whatever it is, it's just exactly what I need. Amen. But what I'm saying is, I'll pray in the Spirit, and I don't know what's going on. But later on, all of a sudden, what I prayed in the Spirit, that those words will turn into English. And as those words turn into English, then my mind is not unfruitful. But my mind is being renewed by what the Holy Spirit has brought from heaven into my life. See, the Bible says that you and I are to renew our mind. We offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, but we're to renew our mind till we can figure out what is the good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. So the more that I pray in the Spirit, and then with my understanding, I pray out in English what God's gave me in tongues, then my mind is renewed to that. Come on. And I can come into the perfect will of God. You see why the devil doesn't want you and I to go step by step by step. Amen. Okay. Verse 5. I would. This is what the Apostle Paul says to the church at Corinth, what he's saying to us. He said, I would that you all spake with tongues. How many? All. Everybody. He said, but rather that you prophesy. Now, stay with us. For greater is he that prophesy than he that speaketh with tongues, except he may interpret, that the church may receive edification. They may receive edifying. They may receive, this is just a word that means a building. So you and I, he wants us to speak in tongues, but he also wants us to know that we can interpret what we speak. Amen. So we're not just called to edify ourselves. You're called to edify me. I need you. I'm called to edify you, amen? And so we have this assurance, and so we've got to build our faith in this way and let the Holy Ghost just continually embrace us. Not a one-time thing, but continually let Him just let us just disappear self into the Spirit. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit can use your traits, your personality. He can use those things to hook you up with people who will be of like mind, like faith, and great things will happen. Amen. In closing, drop down to verse 12. 1 Corinthians 14:12. Even so, ye, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. This is not a suggestion. This is a command. Why are the churches in a mess right now? Because you and I were trying to get along without the Holy Spirit. And so I need to know that God wants me, He wants you to edify the church. He wants us to build the church. We can't do it without the Holy Spirit. Verse 13. Wherefore let him or her that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that they may interpret. So you and I, we always have the mindset that we are going to pray in the Spirit. We're going to have the mindset that we're going to interpret. Verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. But notice what the Apostle Paul closes with. Verse 15. Or this is what we're going to close with. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Now, I will pray with understanding. So the Apostle Paul said, just as easy as you lay your head down at night, or as you bend your head over at the table, or as you're sitting on the couch, or you're in your prayer closet, whatever it might be, just as easy as you start saying, Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. As easy as you say that in English, that's how easy you can pray in the Spirit. But you got to hear that and you got to believe it. The devil has to, he tries to convince us, oh, if I don't feel the doodads. See, the Bible says in 1 John 2:27, the anointing abides in the believer. It's on the inside of you. Thank God for the doodads, but you don't have to feel them. Because the anointing is not coming from out here after you've been embraced and been pulled in. It's coming from in here. And so I will pray with my understanding, but I will pray in the Spirit. So it's a matter of my will. Now, I heard Brother Hagin years ago when God brought this revelation to him. He was working on his Sunday sermon and he was trying to get everything together, and the Spirit. Did we lose? Hello? Okay. So, the Spirit of God kept encouraging him to pray in the Spirit. Amen. And so as he was trying to figure out how to do all that, the Lord brought these verses of Scripture to his heart. And so, he went and he got down and he started praying in the Spirit, and he prayed in the Spirit for an hour. And then the devil come to him and said, man, you just wasted an hour. You prayed in the Spirit here for an hour, but you don't know what you prayed. So what are you going to do? You know, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, and all these things. And so him and the devil, they're in an argument. When it's all said and done, he gets down there and he prays for 5 hours and 45 minutes in the Spirit. And as he does that, when he hits the 5 hour and the 45 minute mark, and he does all of this by faith. There's no anointing there. There's no what he can feel on the outside. It's on the inside. But at the 5 hour and the 45 minute mark, the Holy Ghost falls. And when the Holy Ghost falls, this is in 1945, I believe it is. The Spirit of God brings a revelation, and the prophecy comes forth. He said, When 1949 comes around, I'm going to bring a revival to America. It's going to be a healing revival. And you and I, we know that great revival. It lasted from 1949 through 1958. 1947 through 1958. It lasted 11 years. And so he was in that place. And so he prophesied. He got to be a part of that. Amen. And he worked in that. God wants you to prophesy your future. He wants you to prophesy the people around you. But it's a matter to your will. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. I will pray with the understanding. Also, I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Amen? That's what this message this morning that we preached about, the baptism of love. I started out praying in the Spirit, and then I moved to, I can't sing a lick in the natural, but I moved to singing in a little ode with words that just fit together, that is brought out a rhyme. And that's where that message come from. Amen. That's what you and I are to do. God wants to feed us. He wants to empower us. But all we've got to do is say, Lord, I take you at your word. I'm hearing what you say. I'm going to let the Holy Spirit draw me in. Amen. And as he draws me in, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, he's no respecter of persons. And what he's done for one, he's going to do for me. Amen. For me, for all of us. That's the kind of God we serve. So tonight I want you to see by the eyes of your spirit that the Spirit of God, he's inside of you because you're born again. But he's wanting to be able to wrap himself around you and to just swallow up anything that would be a limitation or a hindrance from you being able to be used by him at any and all time. Amen. Now notice, because there are going to be some say, well now wait a minute, I'm filled with the Spirit when I got saved, and that's true, because you can't be saved unless the Spirit of God comes inside of you. But I'd even, you know, as I was searching for some things, I got to listen to a guy, and because I couldn't, I'd let the Spirit of God, I'd kind of grieved him and quenched him and left him. And so I was trying to find my own way, you know, trying to make an excuse. And so I got to listen to this one guy, and he said, well, you've got the Spirit of God. Don't let anybody tell you that there's more, because there's not. Well, I'm here to tell you there's more. Amen. Because I'm experiencing more every day, and I don't know, but just this much. Just a little bitty bit. But thank God for what I do know, amen. And I know that there's more and more. But what I want you to see is that when the Spirit of God reveals himself to you, then when you claim that verse, Jesus said that I'll be your shepherd and you'll hear my voice. And another you won't follow. Well, you heard that voice as he draws you to salvation. But then after you hear that voice as he calls you by name to salvation, then that same voice starts speaking in those voices in that language of angels. And so if you'll just still your mind, you can hear the Spirit of God talking in your spirit. And whatever you hear in your spirit, you don't have to have an anointing. You don't have to have anything. You just have to have faith. And that faith is, okay, I hear those words, and I know they're not of man. Amen? And you start speaking those words out. And when you start speaking those words out, then that's when you're saying yes to the Spirit of God, and he grabs you, and he pulls you into himself. Amen? That's why I'm saying that, because like I told you before, I didn't yield to the Spirit of God, and I heard those words 15 years before, and I was trying to speak in English, and I was trying to speak in tongues, everything just got turned upside down. But 15 years later, when I laid my tongue on that altar, and I stood with my heart humbled before the Lord, and my hands opened in praise to him, I heard those same words that I'd heard 15 years before at the altar. The very same words. All right. So I'm hearing. I thought, what do I do? And I heard the Spirit of God say, speak. See, on the day of Pentecost, how did we know that they were all filled? The Bible says they were all filled as the Spirit gave them utterance. In other words, they were filled up when they talked in tongues. And so I heard those words again, just like it was 15 years before. And I started saying those words. And when I started saying those words, oh, the devil jumped on my mind. He said, you're blaspheming. You're trying to move yourself out ahead of the Spirit of God, and you're going to die and go to hell. I knew that wasn't true because I knew I was hearing those same words before. I felt the love of God. There was no anointing there. It was on the inside. But the moment I started speaking those words and I started yielding the Lord, the anointing fell. Just like it was at that beginning 15 years before at the altar. See, God, He will bless you. And He will give you some things on the credit, but then after you and I have experienced some things, we've got to operate by faith. Amen. He wants us to grow up. So the anointing was there, and I said those words, and then all of a sudden, the very first time the gifting of the Spirit of God come in me after that, that next morning, it was on a Sunday morning, as I was praying in tongues real quietly because I didn't want Donna to know anything about it because I was still all shook up about all this. And the Spirit of God showed me a couple that was going to, that I didn't know at the time, but they were going to be sitting in church. And I prayed for that couple, and then He gave me a word, and I thought, okay, what do I do with that? I don't know. I didn't have any teaching on this. So we get to church, and we end up sitting right behind them, just like I saw in that vision. And at the right time, when I just felt the leadership of the Lord, even though I didn't understand it, I just leaned up there, and I just spoke to them what God showed me. Big tears welled up in their eyes, and God, He ministered to them. I didn't know nothing about it. I didn't know what it was about. I didn't need to know. But see, profit. They profited because why? Because somebody got to be used by the Lord. God wants to use you. He wants to use you in every moment of life. And it's not about us being big. It's about us being little. The smaller we are, the more God will use us. Amen? And God wants you to know that you're so important to what He's trying to do. Don't let the devil shortchange you. Amen? Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, to the best of my ability, I have spoke out what You have spoken in my spirit. I know that You love this group of people more than ever. And I know that we're all in different places. But You're the God that is above and beneath. You're the God that is all the way in front, all the way behind. You're the God that's all the way to the left and all the way to the right. And You choose not to leave any out. Lord, I asked You that You would just help every person here just accept that embrace. Let the Holy Spirit fall upon every person. Let us just disappear and just be swallowed up in Your Spirit. Lord, as we listen, give us words, supernatural language, the words of angels, the tongues of angels, and help us just trust You. Let us have a fresh refilling, and let us just speak whatever You would give us. Lord, let us go from this night forward in a new level of power in You, a new place of promise and provision, a new place of confidence in You, Lord. It's not about us. You're the baptizer. You, Lord, You're the one who washed us and justified us and redeemed us. And if we can believe You for that, then we can also believe You to be our baptizer. Oh, let it be. Just draw us near right now. Oh, we praise You for it. We thank You. Let the Holy Spirit just be in a place of liberty, because where He is, there is liberty. We don't want to quench Him. We don't want to grieve Him. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Would you come and make yourself an altar and just get alone with the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. I want what You have for me. I want a fresh baptism. I want a fresh word from heaven. I want a fresh revelation of who I am and what You've called me to do and be. Would you come tonight and just let Him talk to you? Let Him show you what He has for you. I promise you life will never be boring, because He's gonna challenge you, and He's gonna make you so secure in Him that you realize that yes, I can do all things through Christ. It's His strength, it's His promise, it's His word. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.